I have no idea how this is going to go today. I know what I feel in my heart, and I know what I have on my notes, and what I feel inside is stronger than what I have on my notes. And so we're going to pray that God helps me through this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 3. Many people know this verse and have used this verse. I'm going to hopefully take something here today and help us. For when they say, they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. When they say peace and safety, the cry for peace and safety, the cry to know that I'm going to be safe, that peace is going to be on the earth, that's what we're looking for, that's what we're striving for, that's what we want. Unfortunately, the more we cry for peace and safety, it seems like the more our world gets a little more crazy. And I'm going to preach on this title today, World Gone Crazy. World Gone Crazy. Jesus, God, I know what I feel in my heart, and God, I need your touch both physically and, Lord, I need you to help my mind to be able to say what I feel in my heart and help it, Lord, to get out in the right manner. God, help it to go in the right way. God, help me, Lord, to say what needs to be said and to challenge us, and Lord, to help us to understand, Lord, where we need to be putting our hope, where we need to be putting our trust. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would stir our hearts and draw us to you. I ask for your anointing. I ask for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to look to somebody and tell them the world's gone crazy. Do you believe that? Boy, I got a big amen on that one. My wife, we were actually driving to church Wednesday night. We were on our way to church, and she was checking out the news on her phone. And I very rarely ever look at the news. I very rarely ever see it or know anything about it. Usually what I find out from the news, I find out from other people. They tell me about it, and don't necessarily follow it real close. I know enough to know that it's crazy out there, and that's enough that I need to know. But she was reading an article, and it was actually the speech by the Secretary General of the United Nations. Some people believe that is the one world government formed and taking place and taking shape. And the man's name is Ban Ki-moon. And he made this speech among all the world leaders. I mean, all the world leaders were there from around the nation. I think it was like 140 of the countries had their world leader at this meeting. And they're all gathered there, and he makes this speech to them. And I want to just take this phrase, and I wasn't actually even going to use this, except what took place shortly after. He makes this statement. He says, leaders must find and nurture seeds of hope in the turmoil and despair of a world that may seem like it's falling apart, with people crying out for protection. He makes this statement, our United Nations leader, the man who many people say is over the world itself, is making a statement that the world seems like it's falling apart. When our leaders recognize and see that the world is falling apart and that, there's not a lot to happen, we know we're in trouble. When our leaders are saying our world is crumbling around us, When you read your news and everything seems to be so dastardly and so crazy and so wild, and every time you read it, it seems like the things that they come up with are worse than what was before, and it seems like week by week, month by month, year by year, everything just seems to be getting worse. I remember preaching a message, I'm talking 10 years ago probably, and I said the world is on the spiral going down. If that's the case, we've reached the funnel part, and it's moving rapidly right now. Now, if you know me, you know I'm not a doom and gloom preacher. I'm not a person that normally looks at a negative and is going to say things like this. But I recognize that this world is fast approaching the end of its time. And we are fast approaching the second coming of Jesus Christ. And He is going to be returning very soon. I believe that wholeheartedly. And the world around us seems to be crumbling. Nations are falling apart. Wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and pestilence and Ebola and all of the diseases that are rampant in our world today and the troubles that are taking place all around us. We are living in a world that has gone crazy. The media wants us to see all of the crazy things that are happening to our weather and all the things that are taking place there. I believe it's all shaping up because Jesus Christ is saying, I'm getting ready to return. And I'm trying to preach this because I want us to know that as a church, we need to be ready. As a people, we need to be doing everything we can. I don't want to see a single person lost. I don't want to see a single person go to hell. I was at my boy's baseball game yesterday morning. He had a game at 9 a.m. and he had a game at 11:15 and had to be there at 8 o'clock. I did not like that at all, but I had to be there. And thank goodness it's his last two games of the season. And I'm sitting there with a couple of people, and they're sitting kind of in lawn chairs, kind of right behind me a little bit, and we got to talking, and they literally made the statement, our world is going crazy. My wife had already given me this article, and I wasn't actually going to do anything with it. And then I heard them talking about it. And they're like, I don't even want to read the news anymore. I don't even want to do this anymore. I don't even want to do that anymore. Because every time I look at it, it's nothing but negative. It's nothing but terrible. It's all this craziness going on around us. And they're saying, our world is going crazy. And I'm here to tell us that no man knows how to fix this. You're not gonna find a leader who can fix that mess. Look, as your pastor, I can't fix that mess. It's beyond me. It's beyond any man. Our president, our world leaders, our Congress, I don't care who our leaders are. I don't care who the next president's gonna be. He's not gonna be able to fix it. Because the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3, verse 7, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It is speaking to the day and age in which we are living today. If there was ever a time of the information age, it is now. I can find out anything that I want to know on the internet. Right at my fingertips, a click here, a click there. I think I said this one other time. My wife actually went on YouTube and learned how to fix my cell phone. She learned how to take my screen off, which is all cracked and broken. She ordered the parts for about $10 and put a new screen on my phone, which Joel took and broke the next day. But we won't talk about that. You can find, I mean, You can go out there. I don't care what you want to fix. There is a tutorial out there on how to fix it. It doesn't matter what you need to find out. There's a lot of things you don't even need to know that's out there. There's all kinds of stuff that we live in the information age. But yet the Bible says that this generation will not be able to come to the knowledge of the truth. How can I have so much knowledge? How can I have so much information sitting at my fingertips? How can I have so much stuff right there in front of me and yet not be able to come to the knowledge of the truth? The answer is very simple. The reason we don't come to the knowledge of the truth is because we deny the source of truth. The reason the Bible says ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth was because just a verse or two previous, it says having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And so the reason I can't come to the knowledge of the truth is because I deny the power. And the reason is we have a form, a resemblance, a shadow of godliness, but deny the actual power of it. We resist it. We don't allow it to work in our lives. And unless you have the source of truth working in your life, you will never be able to come to the knowledge of truth. The knowledge of truth has to be based upon the source of truth. And you won't find a source of truth anywhere but in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 16, 13 tells us, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever things he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Do you want to know how to find truth? I'll tell you very simply. You go to the source of truth. You find Jesus Christ. You get in a great relationship with him. You begin to seek him with everything you've got. You begin to pursue him with everything you've got. You give him everything you got. And before long, guess what begins to come? The knowledge of the truth comes because the source of truth is at work in your life. Our world is in chaos. Our world is going crazy. They don't know how to fix it, but I'm telling you, we have the answer. In 1 Thessalonians, it was Paul who said, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. He said they're going to cry out for peace and safety, and destruction's coming. And many people have taken that to say, well, I don't want to pray for peace. Wrong. Many people say, well, I don't want to seek for peace. Wrong. Because the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. I want peace. I'm seeking for peace. I'm looking for peace. But the reason people do that is because they take this verse and they're looking at it in the wrong context. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. Because if you watch Peter, watch what Peter says. 1 Peter 3 and 11 says, let him eschew evil. I like that word. Let him chew evil. No, that means go away from, get away from, run away from, flee evil, and do good. Watch. Let him seek peace and ensue it. That word ensue means pursue, to chase after, to go after. So in one verse, we see where it says, when you say peace and safety, then comes sudden destruction. And Peter comes along and says, he says, we need to seek peace. Do we have a contrast and do we have a contradiction in the scriptures? Absolutely not. We just have a contradiction in our understanding. It's not peace that I need to reject. It's not peace that I need to go away from. I need to live peaceful. The Bible says, follow peace with all men. See, in John 14, 27, watch what it says. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. But watch, here it is. Not as the world giveth. There is your tie right there. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I want you to understand, the world can go as crazy as it wants. Guess what? I still have peace. Things can go as haywire as they want to get. Guess what? I still have peace. Why? Because the same source that's the source of truth is the same source that is the source of peace. And when I have the source of peace, let everything around me go crazy. Let the world go nuts. It doesn't matter because I can have peace because I have the source of peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Paul was not talking about. You guys are going to love me today. I'm going to be done in about 15 minutes. Paul was not saying that we shouldn't seek peace. Paul was talking about people who are looking for their peace through the world's view, that are looking for their peace from their world's economy, from their world's education system, from their world's leaders, and looking for their help from them. I'm sorry, you can't find it there. You only find peace in Jesus Christ. Let me break this down. Bring this home. My wife and I have a very healthy relationship. She loves me dearly. I love her dearly. We have a great relationship. We've talked about this. But I also understand I cannot provide for my wife everything she needs. It's not possible. And she cannot provide for me everything I need. It's not possible. And I'm not saying that means we need to go out and find someone else who can. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is there has to be someone else, something else, that provides for me. And there's only one who can, and that's Jesus Christ. The reason people have problems in their marriage is because they try to get their wife or they try to get their husband to be everything that they need in their life, not realizing that they need Jesus Christ to fulfill everything they need in their life. Because you cannot have peace without the source of peace. I cannot find joy without the source of joy. No, I've got to find him. I have to find him. When my relationship is right with him, my relationship is so much better with my wife. Why? Because I already have found the source. I'm going to say this. Safety or peace consists not in the absence of danger, but in the presence of God. Peace or safety does not consist in the absence of danger. I'm sorry, in this life, you cannot remove all the danger in your life. When I walk outside of here, every time I turn on my car, I'm in danger that somebody's gonna broadside me. Every time I'm out there playing in the woods, I'm in danger that a big branch is going to fall on my leg. See, I can turn anything into a sermon. You cannot remove all the danger in your life. And if you expect somebody else to do that for you, you're not going to be happy. But if I recognize that my peace
does not come in the absence of danger, but in the presence of God. When I start to feel a little uneasy, when I start to have a little bit of fear, when I start to have some doubts, when things in my life don't seem to be right, and I'm not sure what I need to do next, I know where I need to run. I need to find myself a place where I get alone with Him, and I begin to seek Him and say, Jesus, I need you. Because when I'm there, when I'm in His presence, all these other things have to move aside. Oh, let's show you this here in a second. Mark chapter 4, verse 36. Mark chapter 4, verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, and it was now full. That means full of water. The waves were now crashing into the ship, going over the sides, filling the boat up. The boat appears as though it's going to go down. One more wave, it could be over. One more good wind, and it could tip. It could be the end of them. And in the back of the boat, asleep on a pillow, is Jesus. Jesus, don't you see my storm? Don't you see my dilemma? Don't you see my trouble? Don't you see my fears? Don't you see all these things that are happening to me? Don't you see how everything seems to be falling apart in my life? And it seems like when I'm trying to take a step forward, I take three back, and everything seems to be a mess. And the waves seem to be getting the best of me, and the winds seem to be getting the best of me, and I can't seem to make it. I don't know what's going to happen, and I'm calling out to you, and you don't even seem concerned. Anyone been there? I know Olivia's been there. It appears Olivia is now getting a full-time job with Kent State University. As soon as this temporary job's over. Hallelujah. God let her give that testimony. Put her on the spot. It seems as though everything around you is troubled, and everything around you is stormy, and everything around you is chaos, and everything around you is miserable, and God doesn't seem to be anywhere around. Do you know why? Because God's not afraid of what you're afraid of. What you're worrying about, God's not worrying about. Because all it is for Him is just a mention of a word. All it is for Him is one click of the finger. All it is for Him is just one snap and everything is back. He's not at all concerned like you're concerned. We're worried and we're stressed and we live in this fear and we live with doubt and we live with all this stuff. And we're wondering, God, why aren't you acting? What you don't know is that God is doing everything He knows He needs to do to make sure everything's going to be okay. And just because you don't see it doesn't mean He's not at work. I want you to look at their accusation. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care that we're going to die? That's what he's saying. Don't you care that our lives are over? That everything is through? Jesus do? You know the story. He gets up. He looks at the wind, which He created. He looks at the waves, which He created. He looks at everything around Him, which He created. He says, peace be still. And immediately, everything stopped. Immediately, everything was changed at a word. At the very command of the Creator, everything changed. I could preach for a minute. All you need in your life is a word from the Creator. All you need in your situation is a word from the Creator. All He's got to do is speak into it. That's why, let me tell you, safety consists not in the absence of danger, but in the presence of God. The best place those apostles could have been was in the same boat with Jesus Christ. The best place they could have ever been. I don't care how bad the storm is. I don't care how rough it looks. You're best and you're safest when you're in the presence of the Almighty God. Oh, but He's not answering. Oh, don't you worry. Your word's coming. But I don't see any change. Don't you worry. Your time's coming. But it doesn't seem to make sense. Don't you worry. Everything will be all right when He says it's time. Because the world has to snap to attention. The moment Jesus Christ says, peace, be still. Your chaos has to stop. Your trouble has to leave. I don't know how long you've got to be in the storm. I don't know how long this world's going to keep going in this crazy manner, in the crazy way that it's going. But I'm here to tell you, I know the one place I need to be. I know the one place that I want to be. It's in the presence of God, because I know there I'll be safe. I can go out and somebody will hurt me. I can go somewhere else and this will happen to me. I can go someplace. All these things can come against me. But I get into the presence of God. I get into His presence. And that's why the Bible actually, I'll just put a plug in here. That's why the Bible actually tells us, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together as we see the day approaching. In other words, as we see the day coming, that's why we should be in the house of God more than ever. When we see and we recognize that this world is coming to an end, there's the only one. I want to be in His presence. I want to tie this up for us. I'm getting ready to end right here. I want to tie this up for us. Because it was Paul who said in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then comes sudden destruction. I want you to notice what the same apostle says in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now the Lord of peace Himself. Did you catch that? The Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means. You want to memorize a verse? That's a good one to memorize. Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always, by all means. In the midst of a dangerous situation, I can still have peace. In the midst of economic hardship, I can still have peace. Let them take this from me, let them take that from me. Let this happen to me, let that happen to me. It doesn't matter. That's not where my source of peace comes from. Because this peace that I'm talking about, the scripture says, peace that passeth all understanding. And this same Paul who said, when they say peace and safety, is the same Paul that said this Lord of peace Himself is going to give you. He's going to. Paul wasn't contradicting himself. Paul was helping us to understand, when we say peace and safety, we're talking in a worldly view. We're trying to find peace on this earth, and we're trying to find everything to be right in our lives. I'm sorry, that's not the way it's going to work. Peace in your life will only come from the Prince of Peace. Do I have to say that? Do I have to quote that verse? Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace? Trying to help somebody today who, let's all stand, who may be going through it. And I hope somehow I got this across. I'm trying to help someone today. You're struggling. Life's coming at you in a number of ways, and this situation seems to be taking place, and that seems to be taking place, and I don't know where I'm gonna find the answers. I don't know where I'm going to find the help. I don't know where I'm going to find the hope. Where am I going to find the strength? How am I going to be able to make it through this? And so we look to counselors, and we look to psychologists, we look to doctors, and we look to lawyers, and we look to leaders, and we look to educators, and you even look to pastors. And look, I don't mind helping people and talking to people. But I want to tell you, the only thing I can ever tell you is what the Word of God tells you. That's all I can tell you. And I can't fix your problem. But I can direct you to the one who can. If I can do anything, I can take you to the one. Well, this seems to be going on in my marriage. And this seems to be going on in my home. And this seems to be going on with my children. And I can't find hope, and I can't find peace. Can I just challenge you today? Can I encourage you today to seek out the Prince of Peace? Seek out the Prince of Peace. Seek out the one who said, I'll give you peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's the only peace. That's where you're going to find your peace. And if there's someone here today, you feel somewhat troubled. You feel anxious. Maybe you've got some situations in your life that you're not exactly sure how it's going to get answered. And every time you look at the news, it only gets worse. And every time you check your bank account, it only gets worse. Every time the bills come in, it only gets worse. Every time the doctor's report comes, it only gets worse. Who do I turn to? Where do I go? What do I do? I'll tell you where you go. Find yourself a place. Maybe it's in your bedroom. Maybe it's in your living room. Maybe it's in one of your kids' rooms. You just go in there and shut the door and say, Jesus, I just need to be in your presence right now. My job's acting up. And this is happening. That's happening. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Jesus, will you help me? See, when you start to seek the giver of peace, the source of peace, that's when you'll find real peace. I'm not saying he's going to fix everything in the moment, but I'm going to tell you you're going to find peace. And standing at this altar is the opportunity for someone. Say, Jesus, I need that peace in my life. Will you help me? Jesus, I need you, Jesus. I need that source of peace. I've searched for it in a lot of places, and I've not been able to find it. But Jesus, will you give it to me? So it's here I open these altars to someone who wants to seek him. I just want to seek Jesus. I just want to find him. Let's come. Let's come. Come on. Maybe it's not for you. Maybe for somebody. Maybe just to pray for somebody else.